The situation is far worse than we commoners till now have imagined, because we haven't been allowed to consider the full implications of our total submission to the regime of obedience. Obedience is what makes the system of class totalitarian. That and the fact that it's global. Through this imperative, all institutions, from the family to education, from work to the state, form a seamless totalitarian whole, which makes it the central issue before us as we reclaim the challenge of the future from the rulers and their delegates. The true issue, then, is not capitalism, but rather leashes and levers and compelling behavior, the logic of the will, as Jeremy Bentham says. And whether the means are psychological, although it may be, as the state determines child rearing, that the levers are all psychological, ultimately. Whether the means are psychological or physical, i.e., exploiting the fact that we must eat, the system is about a tiny few getting the vast majority to do what it tells us to do. Jeremy Bentham wanted rulers to become adepts in the logic of the will, the art of control, of manipulation of one's fellow humans. But what we, the global people, need perhaps is to flip the lens and aim it back and get clear on the logic of class. The power guys treat humans like gas to be run through a refining process called higher education, which outspits the best, after which this best is put to the pressure test, and through further such refining, you get the best of the best. Then press down hard as before and weed out some more, and then what's left is the best of the best of the best. And these so-called B's become the ones set above to rule us and make the decisions, all, of course, very hidden. And these guys are all trapped in their illusions, terrified of running into the truth, which is, as Karl Popper said, that what they've created with their highly refined education is but the rule of highly refined yes men, i.e. the rule of the absence of imagination. This matters not just because our lives are sacrificed for nothing, for no reason, but because our lives are sacrificed to make all life misshapen and malformed. Our oceans are dying. We know this. We have to just start talking about it. The current situation, this perilous moment, is far more pregnant with risk than de Tocqueville could imagine, trapped as he was in the mindset of class. But he gives a hint of it when he says, writing about total centralization, of which I think we can agree totalitarianism is the example most extreme, if not it completely, quote, "I cannot conceive that a nation can enjoy a secure or prosperous existence without a powerful centralization of government. But I am of opinion that a central administration innervates," causes us to feel drained of energy, "innervates the nations in which it exists by incessantly diminishing their public spirit. If such an administration succeeds in condensing at a given moment, on a given point, all the disposable resources of a people, it impairs at least the renewal of those resources. It may ensure a victory in the hour of strife, but it gradually relaxes the sinews of strength. It may contribute admirably to the transient greatness of a man, but it cannot ensure the durable prosperity of a nation." And that's from Alexis de Tocqueville, Democracy in America, Volume 1. So the risk we face extends to the human race. It threatens to misshape what it means to be a human when we allow the regime of obedience to be, let alone be, totalitarian. So if not with institutions, with what do we build our future? Kropotkin's associations. Recall his description, ever-changing, moving, growing, self-generating. There is no institution that flows like this, just the opposite. The point of an institution is to fix, make rigid what is fundamentally dishonest, unbalanced, and biased. So let's let our discussions clarify this.